السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Today is the 6th of Rajab 1444. We recite the dua and supplication. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. O Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala, grant us barakah, blessings during this month of Rajab and Sha'ban, and spare us for the honorable month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, we welcome the listeners of Ansar Radio International, Radio Ansar International, and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The time now is 4:28, mashallah. And with the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, we focus on Chapter 25, Surah Furqan, the clear distinction and criterion. And we focus on verses number 8 and number 9 of chapter 25. So the non-Muslims, the mushrikeen, polytheists, idol worshippers, they would be objecting on the messenger, Prophet Muhammad Mustafa, Habibuna, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and on the message, the noble Quran itself. So yesterday's lesson, we told you, they said, how can he, the messenger, peace be upon him, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, be eating, drinking? How can he be walking around in the market, in the bazaar? So today, the other objection they raised, because they thought that being a messenger and prophet, peace be upon him, is like being a king and a ruler in material terms. So they said, O yulqa ilayhi kanzun, or he should be given, meaning the Prophet, peace be upon him, a huge, huge treasure with millions and billions like today. O takunu lahu jannatu ya'kulu minha, or he should be given a magnificent garden and orchard, from there he should be eating. Applying the law of analogy and qiyas on a person who is a king and a ruler, like you see King Charles and you see the kings in the Arab countries and so forth and so on. So that is what they assumed and presumed. So Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala rejected all this and showed them the real kingdom is when you connect yourself with the King of Kings, Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala, and then you bring his people towards the King of Kings, Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala. And today the Nuri Muhammadi Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's radiance and effulgence is spreading throughout the whole world. And remember, that is the message and mission of the Master Alayhi Salaam. Chapter 14, Surah Ibrahim, verse number 1. أن أخرج قومك من الظلمات إلى النور يا رسول الله أو مصطفى حبيبنا رحمة للعالمين صلى الله عليه وسلم. Take the people out from the darknesses in which they are groping in and bring them to the nur and radiance and effulgence of Islam. You can see how Islam is spreading. The more the Western media, the politicians and people in brain end, they have their tanks and what have you rolling here and there coming in. So all that they try to obliterate, extinguish Islam, Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala teaches us, يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. Their intention and motive is to extinguish Islam and the nur of Almighty Allah, the radiance of Almighty Allah, meaning Islam, with their mouths, with their media and politicians and their crooked people. وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. But Allah lets the nur go further and further, and it will go throughout the whole world, even though the non-Muslims, they hate it and they detest it. And in front of all, Almighty Allah says that Islam will prevail over every other religion and every cult. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. Although the polytheists, idol worshippers, hate it and detest it. Chapter 61, Surah Saf, verses 8 and 9. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala addressing the Master alayhi salatu salam, that see what these people are saying, that waqala dhalimun, these non-Muslims, these tenpot dictators and these oppressors and transgressors are saying, in tattabi'un, you are not following, illa rajulam mashura, but a person and a personality who have been bewitched, somebody made jadu on him, somebody did witchcraft on him. So all these wild accusations, allegations they made, but remember Almighty Allah says, Unzur ya Rasulullah, O Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you were, you are, you always will be the most beloved, the most precious to Almighty Allah in the entire universe. See, kayfa dharabu lakal amthal, how they set forth examples for you, derogatory terms and unsavory remarks. Today also, if you speak the truth, people will call you funny names, but we must not worry. That is what they did to Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to every messenger, because the truth is very bitter. Fadwallu, then those people who are using all these derogatory terms, they go astray. Like you see today for Muslims and Islam, they will say you are terrorists and you are the people who want a trigger happy, but you don't go and study everything properly, and they have jaundiced eyes, and then they want to make comments. Fadallu, they go astray. Fala yastati'una sabila, and then they cannot find the right path, because they themselves are corrupted and astray, and they lead others astray. Let us take you around the world with the news, views and interviews. We start today. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Hamas, you did a wonderful job by dispatching 7 jutla straight to hell. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Almighty Allah always accepts our du'as, the crying, the begging, the petitioning of the ummah. Yesterday on Friday, we know they murdered and massacred 9 people there in Jenin on Thursday. Yesterday, our brother Ayash went, mashallah, and the squatters and settlers there, they come to occupy our land. They are the same people now. They must know how it feels when they murder our people in Aqsa al-Mubarak whilst they're praying and while they're urinating at Masjid al-Aqsa, drinking alcohol at Aqsa. 7 jutlas and Jews dispatched straight to hell. We have no sympathy for them. We have no empathy for them. Let us make this very clear. Our stance is very clear, and you can quote me anywhere in the world. One settler, one bullet will settle many issues. We told you, BB, you can do absolutely nothing. We told you, Ben Gvir, you can do nothing. You came on. We will bring security. We will do this. We have America, the iron cluster with us. You got nothing. You have Shaitan with you. Inna Allaha Mawlana wa la Mawla lakum. Allah is on our side. And you don't have Allah. You are the one who are the most racist. And you are the invaders. And you are the squatters there in Palestine. Look at one harami, what he did. His name is Cohen. He went on. He's a right-wing member, a terrorist group, remember, there in the Israeli Knesset. He said, good job done in Jenin. continue killing. So now he's suspended from Twitter and disgraced in the world and so forth. So these are these haramis, you must remember. Tonight, Saturday after the Sabbath, you will see 130,000-150,000 jutlas marching, and that will be against Netanyahu, Ben-Gvir and their haramis. Nobody likes them in the world. They are a terrorist government and they are illegal government. They got people there as ministers who were charged, you must remember, for radical announcements they made and racist announcements. So therefore we must expose and name the Israeli regime, and that's what we're doing for the past 40 years with the help and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Now remember America and Germany and all, they wanted the tanks to roll in Ukraine, but now they have second thoughts. They say there might be some delays and so forth. You know why? Because once the tanks roll in into Ukraine, that's an act of war, and then Putin will start firing up. Putin, you're a harami, but show them, Putin, what you're made of. We're making dua for you. You put them in the right place, whether it be America, whether it be Israel, whether it be NATO or whoever. So they all fear him because he gave God the greatest amount of nuclear. So remember that Israeli economy in big, big danger. Already there in Israel, Burns is there, the head of the CIA, and he's arriving before Blinken. So what you going to do, Burns? You're also burning? So remember that you can never win this war, because we love to dice with death, and that is the true Muslim, the true Palestinian, the true Mujahid, and we are not the Saudis and Emiratis and all these cowards and traitors to Islam. We are the people who are the Mujahideen. We're going to take you on. Remember, with or without the help of the other Muslims. So what you going to do? Blinken, what you going to blink? Remember, better tell Israel, their time is up. You must remember these things here. See the American regime, again brutality of the worst order. You will hear his name, Tyree Nichols, and he's an African person, murdered brutally by 5 American police, and they also African, and they beat him up in Memphis. Now remember, they are on a, you know, powder keg, and anytime it's going to explode this weekend, you must remember. It's well known of America and their brutality against the Africans and the blacks. You must remember that they still suffer from the apartheid mentality and the white hegemony, and therefore we have to name them and shame them and so forth. There's no equality in America. If you think that there is true justice, then you're living in Alice in Wonderland. You should know about that. I want to ask the world one question. You'll condemn Russia, right? That Russia invaded Ukraine about a year ago. But did not Israel, the Jutlas and the Haramis, invade Palestine 75 years ago? Did they not invade Palestine in 1948 and before that? Did they not invade Jerusalem in 1967? Are they not stealing and occupying and land grab in West Bank? So every Jutla is a legitimate target who goes to steal the land of the Palestinians. These squatters must be told that one settler, one bullet will settle the issue. BBC, big trouble for them. See, Putin is putting them in the right place. BBC was broadcasting to the Arab countries for the past 85 years. Now kaput's finished. After 85 years broadcasting, they said that we can't influence them anymore. And remember that Sunak, again, big trouble, because BBC is run by the state. You must remember, therefore, they give slanted news sometimes. So remember, 85 years broadcasting comes to the end on BBC Arabic. India arrest students. Why? Because they want to see the disgrace, you must remember, of Modi and the BJP and the war criminal Modi and the butcher of Gujarat, how they killed 1,000-2,000 Muslims there in Gujarat 20 years ago. And you must write the story down. one of the richest people there in India, the Adani Group, A-D-A-N-I. It was a bloodbath for them. $47 billion gone. Imagine how Almighty Allah humiliates them. وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. He's the richest man, they say, or one of the richest men in India, and $47 billion gone, finished. Because you must remember, they say, this corruption, this fraud, 101 things going on there. And UK Sunak Richie Rich, your country is facing recession, a decline in economic power. So you know there's big problems for you. I told you that before end of this year, the white men will kick you out. They use you and then they're going to drop you. That's their mentality. And you thought they're elevating you. Tunisia, you know, President Kais, another murtad. He was murtad, means apostate, out of the fold of Islam. He said Tunisia will not be an Islamic country and Islam will not be the religion. So see what's happening there. There is food rationing, milk rationing, sugar rationing, so many problems there in Tunisia, and they're facing elections and so forth. Last night Putin sent 10 Ukrainians straight to hell. We have no sympathy. Remember, for all these people. Yeah, these Ukrainians are the ones who voted with Israel to massacre our people in Palestine. So why should we have any sympathy, empathy for them? It's the white man's war. Let them sort it out. We are just the observers. We the spectators. Because you murdered millions of Muslims, whether it be in Afghanistan or Iraq or Palestine or Syria or Libya. And the list goes on and on and on. Early elections in Peru, that's on the cards, and that was one of the demands of the opposition. Floods in Auckland in New Zealand, they have a lot of rain, but suddenly there is so much rain in 1-2 days, 1 week, that normally comes in 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. So 2-3 people died also, according to the media. So Almighty Allah protect us from his punishment and chastisement. So inshallah, today between 2 and 3 will be our brother Uwais and with the youth program, and between 6 and 8 will be Naat Kirat, and that will be with brother Suleiman Esop. So you the Muslims and people of justice, pray pray to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, because Netanyahu and his terrorist government, you must remember that they say there will be a response. So you know what it means, respond, to go and murder the civilians and innocent people. You come to my house, you come to my shop, you put a gun at my head and tell me get out from here, and then we will negotiate the outbuilding. So what will I do? Definitely, I will, the first opportunity I get, I will shoot and I will retaliate. So that is going on for 75 years, and the Western governments an accomplice in the murder and the genocide and ethnic cleansing of the Palestinians. So therefore, we say, whenever the Palestinians, whether it be Hamas, whether it be Jihad Islami, whether it be anybody else, they target a Jutla, well done to you. Allahu Akbar. Hamas, you do your job and we are with you. And let me add one other dimension which very few Muslims are really aware. Shias are kuffar. You'll all know our stance on that. But what Iran does good, that we must say. You must remember, Iran, whatever their motive, intention is, they are supplying the real arms and ammunition. You must remember too, Hamas and to Palestine. So that is very good. You have other Arab countries, like for example Qatar and them, they will give millions and millions of dollars. That's good, but no one will supply arms. So therefore, Iran is our enemy. But remember, sometimes Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the hadith in Bukhari Sharif, inna Allah la yu'ayyidu hadha ad-deen bi rajul al-fajir, that verily Allah Ta'ala then helps and assists this deen and religion of Islam through the services of non-Muslims also. So that is where we are. May Almighty Allah protect the Haramain Sharifain, protect Masjidul Aqsa, and protect all our mosques throughout the world. Gee, Brother Junaid Mutta, you asked the questions that came in, and I haven't seen any question. Remember that. So always when Arafat, Mauna Arafat yesterday, he read out that letter of a youngster, Hafiz Yunus Randeri, 12 years old, mashallah, is Hafiz. His father is Haji Muhammad Randeri, mashallah. They told me afterwards yesterday when I spoke to them, and after all the people were requesting, send us the youngster speech, so then I sent it out on all groups. Hada min fadli Rabbi, hada rahmatun min Rabbi, walau kariyal hasidun. So you must remember this, that Allah Ta'ala, inshallah, make our youngster, our student Hafiz Yunus Randeri, a means of hidayat for millions of people. Make him a great alim, a great mufti, a great sheikh, inshallah. Allah bless his parents as well. Barakallahu fiqh. Jeeb Junaid Mutta, fire up the questions.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti, if my zakat money was stolen, do I still have to pay the zakat for this year?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, you must pay the zakat. Zakat is for self-purification. So you are neglectful, you left the zakat money here and there and so forth. So rather you practice on what is precaution and you repay the amount. You had to pay 20,000, that 20,000 got stolen, so repeat and pay again. If it is something that you are going to pay and is extra, so that will inshallah compensate for all the previous years where you paid less or you made some mistake. And if it was something you had to pay, so alhamdulillah you are paying it. So therefore we will say yes, you must repay it.
Jeremy says, in today's times, does blood money still exist in Islam as it did in the past?
100%. Let me explain to you, Jeremy, what is blood money. ABC person takes his AK-47, deliberately, intentionally, premeditated murder. He goes and commits a crime. He shoots XYZ. So XYZ's family now, the heirs and the victim's heirs and family, they have five options. Life for a life. They go to court and say that they all reach a unanimous decision and consensus. They want life for a life. This is a true Islamic country. So they can demand that. Second one, they say they want blood money. Blood money is 100 camels or the value thereof. So it will work out to millions and millions of dollars today's time. And then third one, they make sulah. Sulah is okay. You give us your house, you give us your car, you give us your farm, and then we, the heirs, will distribute it. So that also is an option. And the fourth option will be that they tell them that, okay, that we just keep this matter and, you know, in abeyance, and we'll see what Almighty Allah passes the verdict on the day of justice and judgment. And fifth one is they say that we forgive you absolutely, totally. So all these options are available. That is the beauty of Islam. You must remember that it is a civil matter, and what the heirs of the victim and the family decide. So today they tell you that the death penalty is barbaric and so forth, but America has the death penalty in certain states. How many countries have it? So remember, if South Africa just has to reintroduce it, so all these people who are murdering police, raping children, and so many things going on, that person who spoiled the life of so many hundreds of children, Ackerman, and if you know how to pronounce in Afrikaans, his Afrikaner name, Ackerman, 740 charges against children from 7 years old and above. So Islamically, in a case like that, there'll be death penalty. So that is what Islam stands for, a deen. Deen means political justice, economic justice, social justice, across the board and spectrum, absolute justice, because we believe in Malik Yawmiddin, the day of justice.
Francina says, is it correct to say that a wealthy man's wealth lies in his time and not his money?
You must remember, sister, that we don't want to play with all euphemisms and all these type of things. We say you must understand, my sister, three things. Wealth is a bounty of Almighty Allah when we attribute it to Almighty Allah. It was the decree of Almighty Allah that Junaid became a multimillionaire. I became a multimillionaire. Obviously, these are just examples. You became a multimillionaire, not because of our degrees or our business acumen. That is the way of the capitalistic world, the secular world. Secularism means you promote and advocate a godless society. That's theocracy. And speaking of religion, is a private matter. Islam rejects that absolutely and totally. Islam says theocracy is everywhere. Before I eat, before I sleep, before I talk, everywhere we will take the name of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, and we will promote the teaching, preaching of Prophet Muhammad Mustafa Habibuna Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So in Islam, how did we earn that money? How do we spend that money? All these are the issues that we have to answer even on the day of justice. And third one, this world can make us people become people who are very, very arrogant and so forth. I just told you now about the Adani group. Imagine a bloodbath for them. $47 billion, remember, US dollars gone. So that is Almighty Allah. Therefore, we have a saying, and Imam Abu Hanifa, one of the great scholars and genius of Islam, used to say, Al-malu ghaidun ra'ihun. In the morning, you will be a multimillionaire, and in the evening, you can be a pauper. Or in the morning, you are a pauper, and in the evening, you are a multimillionaire. So therefore, whatever comes to us, do not attribute it to yourself. Attribute it to Almighty Allah. Haza min Fadli Rabbi. This is the grace of my Allah. Today the Jutlas and the Zionists and the apartheid terrorist Nazi regime of Israel wants to come and tell us that Israel belongs to them. So all this is the figment of the imagination. You must remember that Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu salam, after reconstructing Aqsa al-Mubarak, and remember then he, chapter 38, verse 35, he recited, he begged Almighty Allah, and he said, Rabbi habli mulkalla yambaghi li ahadim min ba'di. O Almighty Allah, grant me from your side such a magnificent kingdom that is not given to anybody after me. Allah Jalla Wala granted him that. When he was asked, what about all this kingdom of yours? What did he, Solomon, say? We say Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam. The Jutlas, they say King David, King Solomon. So Solomon, peace be upon him, said, Hada min fadli rabbi. This is the grace of my Allah. Chapter 27 and verse number 40. So always attribute it to him, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. That, remember, Zulqarnain, people think it refers to Alexandria the Great. Alexandria was a non-Muslim. Allah is speaking, you're Muslim here. Remember that, the one who built the barrier and the big wall to save the people from Gog and Magog, Ya'juj and Ma'juj. And then Almighty Allah Jalla Wala tells us, what did he say, Zulqarnain, Rahimahullah, the sage of the age, the wali of the time, in Surah Kahf, chapter 18. And verse 98, Hada rahmatum min Rabbi, this is the mercy of my Allah. So chapter 18, verse 98. So my sister, whenever Almighty Allah bestows upon us, say, Hada min fadli Rabbi, this is the grace of my Allah. Hada rahmatum min Rabbi, this is the mercy of Almighty Allah. He is enveloping us in His special mercy. Never attribute it to yourself.
Anonymous says, I was told that certain bequests cannot be written in a will, like requesting a certain Mulana to perform my burial because we have no guarantee of life.
100%, you can't say, I must be buried in this place and this place. What happens if you are not buried there? A person says he must be buried in Durban, for example. But he passes away in Johannesburg, he passes away Cape Town, overseas. In Islam, to transport the body from overseas or Cape Town, Johannesburg to Durban is haram. It's not permissible, that in Islam. 8-10 hour journey and so forth and so on. So even by plane, they have to embalm the body and they use alcohol. And what then, what happens? So you must remember that. You see today so many foreigners passing away in South Africa, Muslims, and then they transporting the body to Bangladesh or India, Pakistan, Egypt, Morocco. All this not permissible, remember this. You can say that when I pass away, not if, we have to die, we all know that. So when I pass away, and if I die in this town, city, then this imam, this maulana, this sheikh, this mufti sahab must perform, remember, my janaza salat. That you can request, but remember, you must also say, I must be buried in the place wherever I pass away. Not 6 hours journey and 5 hours journey, I must be transported and so forth. All that definitely not acceptable in Islam. So whether it's to do with burial or whether it's the person who is going to officiate and be the person in charge of the janaza salat, the funeral prayer and so forth, you can request it, but remember, it's not something that must be fulfilled when you are going to trample upon the Sharia.
Okay, why is it that in Islam a person is not allowed to buy stock and keep it till the value increases before selling it?
It depends what we are talking about. If it is foodstuff and basic commodities which people require, I just gave you now in the news items. I told you in Tunisia, Tunis, if you go, wonderful, beautiful country, we've been there, and you don't require visa at all. You just book your ticket now, you go to Tunisia, and they will just stamp your passport. That was when I went. I don't know if things changed, but I don't think things have changed. You can ask your travel agent. And remember, but because of corruption and dictatorship and their anti-Islamic sentiments, Allah punishes them, the rulers. And you see that what happens is that now milk, bread, so sugar, so many things now are rationed and so forth and so on. And they're facing huge difficulties there. So if a person is going to stock up and pile up and all that, these kind of things, and then when the acute shortage hits, then he's going to charge. Remember, maximum amount, all that haram. He, Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, La yahtakiru illa khati'un. Only that person stores the goods and this type of foodstuff, people who are guilty of major, major sins. In Islam, when Almighty Allah has given you wealth, and I just gave you the lesson now, it's not because of your degrees, it's because of the decree of Allah. It's not because of your business acumen. It is Allah's favor upon you. Wa ahsin kama ahsanallahu ilayk. Do good unto humanity and creation as Almighty Allah did good upon you. So chapter 28, Surah Qasas, verse 77. Chapter 28, verse 77, Allah is teaching us what is business ethics, what is business principles. Today the people use Islam's name, commercialize Islam, and then they pocket half the money and so forth. That is not Islam. Islam is that how Allah did me a favor, you a favor, not that we deserved it. It is His grace and mercy. So do good unto humanity and creation, even non-Muslims. So therefore, if it's foodstuff and basic needs necessity, then to store and hoard it, remember, is not permissible. Yes, for example, now it is paint, or it is some other thing which is not a basic necessity, and then you store it, and so forth. And then remember that when there's a shortage, then you charge. So that is also not desirable, but permissible. So it is permissible, but not desirable. But when it comes to foodstuff, when it comes to things that we need to eat and drink, and the basic needs of humanity, so you must remember there is absolutely haram and not permissible. And open Mishkat Sharif, Mustada Ahmad, you will find the hadith, La yahtakiru illa. Is a major, major sin in Islam.
Mr. Stoffer says, I am a non-Muslim. Can I donate cash for food for Muslim orphans?
Remember, my brother, that there are so many millions of people, whether they are Muslim or non-Muslim, and remember that they are orphans because they are victims of war, they are big victims of corruption by various governments or politicians, or you must remember their families are themselves in abject poverty. So let me explain to you, Mr. Stoffels and whoever else, do you know what Islamically is the definition of a yatim, of an orphan? Orphan got two conditions in Islam. The child must be a minor. So number one, that boy or girl is a minor, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith and saying and teaching and preaching, wala yutma ba'da ihtilam. Once you attain the age of puberty and maturity, then you are no more a yatim, you're no more an orphan. Once people are 15, 17, 18, 20 years old, they might call themselves orphans, but Islamically they are not orphans. Second one is, when I was in school, then remember, maybe they changed now, but in the 60s, the Western schools, you know, the non-Muslim school, they would teach us the orphan's definition is he or she who has lost both the parents, biological parents, father and mother. In Islam, Islam rejects that. Islam says you are a minor and your biological father has passed away, so your mother could still be alive. Almighty Allah speaks about the Prophet Muhammad, Mustafa Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alam yajidka yatiman fa'awa. Did Almighty Allah not find you a yatim, an orphan, and He Almighty Allah gave you shelter? Chapter 93, Surah Wadduha, verse number 6. So it shows that the mother was alive, the honorable mother. The father passed away prior to the Milad Mubarak, the auspicious and honorable birth of the Master Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we need to understand that. Then every child is a Muslim. Kullu mauludin yuladu ala al-fitra. So fa abawa Allahu yuhawidanihi, O yunassiranihi, O yumajjisanihi. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif. Every child is born as a Muslim, but then the parents, they make them a Jew or a Christian or those fire worshippers, Zoroastrian and so forth. So you want to donate to the orphans, it's very good, no problem with that, but don't donate haram money. That's just my advice to you. Money that you got from the brothel, or money you won in the casino, or money that you won, you understood, in some haram competition, illegal competition. So use that money which you earned and legally, so then that will be the good thing to do.
Veronica is asking, can you explain the origin of the word Amin as it is used in all religions after a prayer?
Remember, excellent question, Veronica, and that is, you say Amen and we say Ameen. You know, the first chapter of the Noble Quran, Surah Fatiha, comprises 7 verses. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. We say Ameen. Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the imam, the leader of the prayer, says, man wafaqa ta'minuhu ta'min al-malaika ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi, that when you say Ameen, and Ameen, Allahumma stajib du'a'ana, it means, oh beloved Allah, accept our supplication, accept our dua. So when you say Ameen, and that corresponds with the Ameen and the Amen, just to use the term, your term, to make you understand, of the angels, so then you are forgiven. And the hadith is authentic in Mishkat Sharif. And remember that this is one of the things the Jutlas and the Jews hate and they're jealous of. At open Mustad Ahmed and various compilations, the Jews hate us when we say Ameen, because they're burning with jealousy and fury and rage, because now, remember, 7 of their own people dispatched to to hell, and we say Ameen, more can be dispatched also. So that is what we stand for, and we don't apologize for that, because once you come and invade our country, steal our land and kill our people, the baby killers, and thereafter, you must remember, you demolish our mosque, you take over our masjid in Hebron, and then you tell me you are peace loving people. Nay, you are not peace loving PEACE. You want to steal and occupy, you squatters, more and more pieces of land there in Palestine. So that is where we will end it today. Make dua for us and the Ummah and the Mujahideen of the world, whether in Afghanistan, whether in Palestine, whether in Syria, Jordan, wherever. Make dua for all humanity. We all want peace, but peace must be based on justice. The precursor must be justice. Salat is 5:10. I leave you now. Barakallahu fiqh. Make dua for us as well. We are sinners. And Allah Jalla Wala accept us for His deed. And Allah Ta'ala make our khatima, our ending on Iman. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen.